This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Tested in the 20s by Margaret Sanger and the Rockefeller Foundation. The same ones that run the whole Great Reset, COVID-19, Operation Lockstep. They went in and bought off the black religious leaders in New York as a beta test for the rest of the country, and they said, they used IBM computers to program it, this is all on record, and they said, hey, we've been able to basically take black families that were some of the most compact and successful in the country. They had a lower level back then of even white promiscuity and white illegitimacy, that is, not having a father in the home. And by the 60s, they had totally reversed those numbers, and now upwards of 80% of black families are broken up. This article in The Atlantic says the nuclear family was a mistake. It uses black people as an example and says it's very liberating and good to get rid of it. They say that the nuclear family was a short, happy life of the nuclear family, but now it's been gotten rid of, and we've gotten rid of clans, and it shows a picture of a family together and blurred their faces out. No one has anybody, just like they've done to the black people, and now our sons can be led by gang members, just like they did to the blacks, and be put in prison. And the enemy wins. And that's, now they're breaking up the whole human family with their race war. Meanwhile, Paul Joseph Watts has a new article on Infowars.com. He takes over in a few minutes. UK records zero COVID deaths. Pro-lockdown advisor told to shut up as the country basically still kept under lockdown. But that's all done by turning the PCR test down to 28 or 29 cycles. All of it is a fraud. You've got to destroy the fraud or they'll keep bringing it back. But they know there's a huge tipping point, so then they pulled back because of how many scientists and doctors have gone public. I did a good show today, powerful, but I didn't get to the five or six new doctor interviews with PhD scientists all over the world, from New Zealand to the U.S. to Canada to Europe, saying this is pure bull, pure evil. We're seeing mass deaths from the vaccines. It's pure poison. Major studies out on that subject, but the whole show can't be COVID all the time. But my God, this is their takeover plan, is the COVID. Mass grave of 215 children in Canada, a stark reminder of the dark history of Native American boarding schools in the U.S., but it's all still ongoing. And I, years ago, had Native American leaders on to expose this 20 years ago, 10 years ago, but you never see the media pick up on that. Now they're doing it because now there's the push to say white people did it and not eugenics. It's been eugenics groups that did it and that led it. And that monster Trudeau, that eugenicist Trudeau and his father, the Fabian socialist that wants Chinese-style communism in Canada, and Canada is a microcosm of where we're going, so it is extremely dangerous. A poll takes over for 55 minutes after this break, and then the war room today. Paul Watson does the next hour, but Owen Schroyer is off this week on well-deserved recharge. So who's hosting the war room? Say that again. Harrison Smith pulling double duty, hosting today, and I'm going to be hosting some this week with a lot of big special guests. Roger Stone's got a lot more not ready to break today. He'll be breaking tomorrow, big stuff, on the first hour of the War Room, 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. So the host of American Journal is going to be hosting today. And I've got a lot to cover and a lot to do and a bunch of special reports I haven't done yet. So who knows, those may end up on that show today. Whatever you do, please tune in because your word of mouth is king. Remember, you can't promote band.video on Twitter or Facebook, but you can promote the new URL, and that is freeworldnews.tv, freeworldnews.tv. And don't forget, on every video you see, there's a little share button under that to share it on your email, your text message, or however you wish. So please remember, you are the resistance. Thank you so much.
InfoWars delivers. We have proven ourselves to be the tip of the spear, that our research is the best out there, period. And I don't say that arrogantly. I say that from long decades of research and fighting hard in the trenches. And I know that without your support, none of this would have been possible. So I thank you for your support, and I want to encourage you to continue to support InfoWars symbiotically with a 360 win by going to InfoWarsStore.com. Through Memorial Day, we have the biggest sale yet of the year, store-wide free shipping, double Patriot points, and our best-selling product, our flagship product, DNA Force Plus, has been sold out for almost 7 months. It's back in stock, 40% off. It's the best thing you can do for your immune system, for your cells. It is the Rolls Royce, the Bentley, the Ferrari, the Lamborghini of supplements at the lowest price you're going to find with these ingredients. 40% off, free shipping, double Patriot points, and a bunch of other items are back in stock as well, so check it all out at InfoWarsStore.com today. DNA Force Plus, back in stock.
Transmitting worldwide from the Summit.News studios in the United Kingdom, you are listening to Paul Joseph Watson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Summit News Hour, where the scientific dictatorship, which has had a stranglehold over the Western world for over a year now, continues to refuse to relinquish its control over our lives, our behavior, who we associate with, where we go, what we do, everything under the sun. We've now recorded in the UK today, and the headline is UK records zero COVID deaths, clues in the headline. Pro-lockdown advisor told to shut up. So we've recorded zero COVID deaths for the first time since March, early March 2020, before the first official lockdown. And yet, what do we see day after day after day? Government advisors saying, oh my God, the situation is apocalyptic. We're going to have to lock down again. There's literally zero people dying, even by their official inflated numbers. Zero people. One person died yesterday. Bear in mind, this is over the past 28-day period that they count these deaths. One person died yesterday in the entirety of the UK. Zero people died in England itself. Now across the whole of the UK, zero COVID deaths, and yet you still have these pro-lockdown advisors. And the main fault, from my perspective, doesn't even lie with the advisors. They're grifters. They got into the limelight. They got the clout from being the scientific dictatorship, from taking their perch on the peanut gallery for the past year, by being these big vaunted scientific establishment authorities that get to dictate how you live your life, when you can see your grandma or your kids. So the obvious motivation for them is there to try to stay in the limelight by continually hyping up the fear-mongering scare propaganda that has left people in such a state that we literally now have a new mental illness called COVID-19 anxiety disorder, which many people are suffering. Apparently, it's turned them into weak-wristed jellyfish agoraphobes who are afraid to leave their own homes, afraid to go outside, because they think death is around every corner, despite the fact that, as we've documented many times over and over again, the survival rate for COVID, which the WHO at the beginning of this fear-mongering campaign said was 3.6%, and they made very little effort to correct that, is actually, for healthy people under a certain age, 99.8%, even more, depending on what barometer you look at. So on the day that the UK recorded zero coronavirus deaths for the first time since before the first lockdown over a year ago, a government advisor who wants lockdown restrictions to remain in place says he's being told to shut up. Thank God that people are telling him to shut up. What kind of political capital do you have to want the entire country to lock down again for these restrictions, which are still in place, by the way, to a great extent until the 21st of June, to remain in place when literally zero people are dying. Probably more people died today from drowning in a swimming pool. We don't have that many swimming pools in the United Kingdom because it's a very cold place indeed. What political capital did they even have to get this attention? But again, who's giving them the attention? It's the mainstream media. It's BBC News, the state-funded broadcaster. It's Sky News. Giving these people who have been proven wrong time and time again with their apocalyptic modelling, which is frankly ridiculous, 500,000 people dead, they said, complete bunk, still giving them the attention, the limelight, the authority to make these predictions, to make these scaremongering, fear-mongering proclamations that we're going to have another wave, that many more people are going to die. They should be completely ignored, and yes, they should be told to shut up. That's exactly what people should be telling them. Yet Sky News, BBC, is still giving them the most prominent attention, even more so in some cases than before or right as the pandemic was beginning. So again, after recording just one COVID death yesterday, the whole of the UK reported no deaths whatsoever today. Those government scientists are literally crying into their cornflakes this morning upon learning that news. Oh my God, it's disappearing. Nobody's dying anymore. How are we going to get on TV? How are we going to get our 15 minutes of fame? How are we going to continue to get our unearned clout? Seriously, it's not just the scientists. Seriously, these people, these brainwashed sheep who have invested their entire identity into supporting lockdown, and the polls show it's a vast, clear majority of the British population, mainly because a lot of them are being paid their wages by the government on furlough to sit on their arses all day and do absolutely nothing, play Xbox and watch YouTube videos. They've religiously supported the lockdowns, religiously supported the cult-like mask mandates, and it finally looks like it's coming to an end. Those people are absolutely devastated that nobody has died of COVID today, according to the official record. They're devastated. They want more deaths. They want more illness. They want it to continue to infinity, because that's how they define themselves. That's how they define their personality. That's how they judge other people. That's how they look at videos of people enjoying themselves on the beach this past bank holiday Monday weekend. God forbid people should actually enjoy their lives, go out, meet their friends and relatives. Those are the kind of sad curtain twitchers who have no friends. Nobody wants to hang out with them because they're miserable bastards. So they want this to continue forever. Then, of course, you have the sage government advisors who get their entire raison d'etre, their entire clout out of being that authority figure. Well, it's coming to an end. Hopefully, touch wood, it looks like it's coming to an end. Sky News is reporting the last time there were no deaths on any day was 7th of March 2020, before the first lockdown. However, despite deaths having been plummeting for weeks, and bear in mind they started to lift these restrictions, again, against the advice of many of these government scientists who want them to remain in place forever, started to lift them on the 12th of April. So we're talking about over 6 weeks ago now, they allowed us to go outside in a pub when it was pissing down with rain and like 3 degrees. They allowed us that privilege. 6 weeks after that, weeks after we'd been allowed to meet other people indoors, oh my God, can you imagine? Can you imagine being able to meet 5 other of your friends indoors? Oh, thank God for the government. Nothing happened. There's no explosion in deaths. This Indian variant, which they hoped would have a 50% transmissibility rate, hasn't proven to be the case. Even in the Muslim areas of Bolton and Blackburn, where this supposed Indian variant was exploding, the hospitalizations have decreased. No people are dying, basically. Zero people are dying today. They're devastated that they couldn't gin it up, hype it up for more fear-mongering. Now you have this Professor Adam Finn being quoted by Yahoo News. This is an individual from the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization, who is demanding that the final stage of unlocking on June 21st be delayed, even though we've literally got zero people dying of COVID.
We've probably got more people dying of putting their pants on and falling over, which is actually the real statistic for young people under the age of 16 who have died from COVID. More people died from putting their pants on and falling over because it's so deadly and all those kids need to take the vaccine. Professor Finn said, quote, "There are a lot of people who are very fed up about the idea of us even worrying about this." Oh, I wonder why. Is that because they haven't been able to see their grandma, who's 82 years old and about to die for the past 15 months? Do you think that's why they're fed up? He went on to say, "Since I've been saying in the last 24 hours that we should be cautious, I've been getting lots of messages from people telling me basically to shut up." And that's from what I can tell from reading these news articles, people within the government itself, which finally, touch wood, maybe has found a backbone and realized that a virus from which 99.8% of young healthy people survive, maybe they shouldn't need to get the vaccine, is not as fearful, not as threatening as we originally thought. We'll be back. Summit.news, don't go away.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with Youngevity. Teamgaday.com.
You're listening to the Summit.News Radio Hour with Paul Joseph Watson.
So we've had the first few days of actual summer here in the UK over the past few days, and people are out on the beaches, they're out suntanning, enjoying themselves, meeting up with friends and family, and we can't be having that, can we? No. The sage, the much vaunted sage government advisors have come out once again and said, we're going to have a third wave, or is it a fourth wave? Who's keeping count at this point? Terrified that their position on the peanut gallery will be dislodged for eternity, now saying that despite the fact we've had zero deaths recorded today in the UK, that we need to keep these restrictions in place. And I hasten to add, by the way, as we previously highlighted, and as I highlight in this article, an issue which didn't get much media attention at the time, there was one report on it out of the Telegraph, surprise, surprise. The government advisors, some of the same ones on the SAGE committee that has been advising the British government for the past 15 months on this pandemic, literally admitted, we cannot emphasize how important this is enough, literally admitted that their scare propaganda, their scare tactics, their what they called psychological manipulation of the British public was too effective. Those are their words, too effective. And that it terrorized people to such a degree that, again, as I mentioned before, people have developed a new mental illness called COVID-19 anxiety disorder, which is a combination of being a literal jellyfish with no spine combined with being afraid to go out, agoraphobia, as it were. They admitted, again, that they use psychological manipulation techniques that were, quote, unethical and, quote, totalitarian, as methods of instilling fear in the population in order to control behavior during the pandemic. So they over-egged the pudding, that's putting it lightly, to the point where, as I mentioned, as I documented in a video last week, some people are so afraid of COVID that they're still not only wearing their face masks indoors, they're wearing them during sexual intercourse with their own partners. That is the degree of pathological trauma that this scientific dictatorship has instilled into the population writ large. So zero COVID deaths in the UK, yet still these scientists being given column spaces, column inches, being given TV platforms to say, no, despite the fact that nobody's dying, despite the fact that this is basically over, we need to lock down again. And I have a raft of headlines to rattle off regarding that issue. Sputnik News reports Johnson urged to delay lifting of lockdown over new virus strain to stop mini COVID volcanoes, whatever the hell that means. They've just come up with a new scaremongering term, which is mini COVID volcanoes. Breitbart reports top Tory corona-obsessed scientists staging a coordinated effort to extend lockdowns. Gee, I wonder why they want to do that. The money, the clout, the attention. A group of coronavirus-obsessed scientists in Britain are launching a coordinated effort to derail plans to fully reopen the country by pushing fears of another wave of the virus, said former Tory leader Ian Duncan Smith. Prime Minister Boris Johnson has told the nation that lockdowns would be lifted on June 21st. However, media reports spurred on by warnings from select members of the government's SAGE coronavirus Congo of third wave have increasingly suggested that the Freedom Day will need to be pushed back. Speaking on talk radio, Sir Ian said that while there may be legitimate concerns about emerging variants, he found it, quote, ridiculous listening to various scientists go on, adding it seems like an organized push by a group of scientists to stop June the 21st. He said the campaigns have been building up over the past couple of weeks, saying it looks to him as really coordinated and quite deliberate. He noted that while there's been a slight uptick in cases, the death rate has been static, and indeed today it's dropped to zero. They're really mad about that. They're crying into their cornflakes that nobody's dying anymore of this virus. Number of hospitalizations has been flat due to the UK's vaccination drive. Well, really, we'll get into that. He says, what we have got now is a bunch of scientists obsessed with one single issue to the detriment of absolutely everything else. Then over in the US, you have this, again out of Breitbart, Rona forever. WHO and Fauci warn monumental error to assume coronavirus danger is over. They never want it to end. We could be here in 5 years' time and they'll find some obscure variant which is still hanging around in the background and they'll seize upon that. Probably they'll just create a new virus and it'll be accidentally leaked from a lab and it'll be even worse, but, you know, we've learned their methods so far, haven't we? So UPI reports WHO Director General Tedros, the guy whose name is impossible to pronounce, and I'm not even going to attempt it, you know the guy. The guy who amplified Chinese state propaganda on January 14, saying there was no human-to-human transmission of the coronavirus. The guy who, for weeks after the initial outbreak of the pandemic, said it was racist and bigoted for countries to close their borders to stop the spread of the virus, which led literally to mayors, authority figures in Italy, which was the fulcrum of the first major outbreak in Europe, literally telling their population to go out on the street and hug Chinese people so they wouldn't be seen as racist, because being called racist is worse than dying from a virus. That guy, speaking at the World Health Assembly, cautioned against a, quote, monumental error to presume the danger of coronavirus is over. As White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci joined him to declare the world can't declare victory prematurely. Because they don't want to declare victory, because it's the end of their power monopoly. It's the end of their medical scientific dictatorship. Fauci's warning against any relaxation reprises a declaration he made in April for the public to get vaccinated and continue wearing masks. So we have that happening between the WHO and Fauci. Meanwhile, BBC continues to insist employees wear social distancing tags despite complaints. So basically, they forced them back in January to wear these proximity sensors, which give off a loud, annoying beep whenever BBC employees within the newsroom get within 2 meters of anyone else to, quote, help maintain safe social distancing. Turns out these electronic tags have literally been exploding and smoking. And yet the BBC came out and said, doesn't matter, we're going to continue to force you to wear them anyway. One of the tags had to be retired from use after it started smoking, with an employee telling The Guardian, quote, if they can't handle daily use and start setting on fire or overheating, then they shouldn't be here. Another employee said the beeping sensors were a nightmare in a working environment where absolute silence is often required. So they're literally forcing them to wear these slave cattle tags that beep while they're in a newsroom. As the guys running the show will know right now, silence is quite an important thing when you're running a newsroom and trying to do a live broadcast. So they keep beeping, they keep being set off, in some cases overheating, catching on fire, and yet the BBC came out and said, quote, we are surprised that a problem with a single electronic device is a news story, especially as devices are being used where social distancing is challenging and they're about safety. Now, I referred back in this article to two different articles from both the British and the Australian government, who previously seriously considered forcing British citizens, Australian citizens, to wear electronic ankle bracelets like prisoners to ensure they're complying with home quarantine orders. Literally considered, and maybe it's in the offing for the future, forcing people to wear prisoner-style tags to make sure they're complying, they're behaving themselves. Goodbye.
You know, I'm cutting an ad right now, and I've been here on the Saturday cutting these. I've done a terrible job because I just cut like 5 ads, and I didn't tell people the most important part. No, it's not that DNA Force Plus has been sold out for 7 months and is back in stock and is 40% off, or how the supply chain broke down and how it almost bankrupted us, but thank God it finally came in. Or how it cleans up your mitochondria and makes your telomeres last longer and can regrow nerves. You've got to go research DNA Force Plus. No, it's not that. The reason I just cut all those ads and forgot the most important point. the Supernova Vitality's back in stock, 50% off, that ProstaGuard's back, 40% off, that Alpha Power's back, 50% off, that Ultra 12, vitamin B12, taking out of the tongue, it's incredible, is back, also 50% off, or VasoBeats, back 50% off. No, it's that. We've got double Patriot points and free shipping store-wide. Double Patriot points, free shipping store-wide on top of these huge sales.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Live from London, England, it's Paul Joseph Watson with Summit.News.
We're going to go to this video now, which went up a couple of hours ago, called Why You Should Boo Take a Knee. We have the European Football Championships coming up across Europe a week on Friday, where fans are graciously allowed back into the stadiums and they have the opportunity to express their free speech, their personal opinion on Take a Knee, what it actually represents, and that is what this video is about. We're going to go to it now, come back, talk about it. Here is the video. Chelsea fans at the Champions League final audibly booed before the start of the game as players took the knee. You want to reconnect? Hello, base department. So now race grifters across the board are paranoid that that will be replicated when fans are allowed to fill stadiums again from next season onwards.
What's the FA's stance on this?
So our stance on this is it is absolutely a personal choice for players.
FA Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Director.
Let's be clear on what taking the knee is. Taking the knee is players protesting against inequality, injustice and discrimination across the game.
No, it's not. UK football players began to take a knee in June 2020, specifically in response to Black Lives Matter's global white guilt trip, which began in June 2020. The players literally wore the words Black Lives Matter on the back of their shirts for weeks on end. Sky Sports literally still to this day flashes up the message Black Lives Matter during every game it broadcasts. Stadiums are festooned with giant flags that say Black Lives Matter. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that kind of suggests to me that this is about a group called Black Lives Matter. Arguing otherwise is like claiming that Sieg Heiling has nothing to do with the Nazis. So no, it's not just some vague message about inequality. Because modern football is so riddled with inequality, the lack of diversity is atrocious.
It isn't aligned to a political party.
It's about signalling support for Black Lives Matter, the political group. You know, the group that desecrates statues and memorials. The group that burns down cities in mostly peaceful demonstrations. The group that routinely intimidates and harasses people at restaurants if they refuse to support their cult. The group that openly espouses its agenda to destroy the family. The group whose founders say their spiritual guru is a convicted cop killer fugitive terrorist. The group whose followers have literally carried out mass shootings. So much for the tolerant left. Point is, this has always been about Black Lives Matter, uppercase, a violent far-left extremist political group.
When you're booing players who are taking the knee, what you are in effect booing is the right of those individuals on that pitch to have a voice and to protest against inequality.
So why can't fans have a voice too? If players want to support BLM, fair enough, let them express their opinion by taking the knee. They can have their free speech. So why can't fans? Why can't the fans who shell out huge chunks of their income to fund the lavish lifestyles of these pampered, privileged multimillionaires express their opinion too? The same fans, by the way, who have never booed and have generously supported the Kick It Out campaign for decades. We just had a giant European Super League scandal where the takeaway message, the consensus from every football pundit, media outlet and news commentator was listen to the fans. Listen to the fans. So listening to the fans is the most important thing in the world of football. Yet as soon as some of them express an opinion that challenges the omnipresent mandated bleating subservience to Black Lives Matter, as soon as some of them refuse to bow down and grovel to this onerous, sanctimonious, woke monoculture, oh, now suddenly not only do we not listen to them, we kick them out of games, we demand they take re-education classes, and we give them lifetime stadium bans.
Oh, listen to the fans, though.
Who's listening to them now? Club management and players from QPR, Wigan Athletic and Middlesbrough all tried to exercise their choice, their freedom of expression, to stop taking the knee. And what happened? They were pressured and dragooned back into doing it. That doesn't sound like supporting free expression to me. That sounds like intimidation through the threat of social media mobs and official sanctions into endorsing a dogmatically totalitarian political movement.
Taking a knee is an action that is respectful. It enables us to continue to have conversations about inequality, about discrimination, about racism.
Yeah, because we don't talk about racism enough, do we? It's not like it's rammed down our throats by every corporation, government entity, cultural institution, social media network and media outlet on a second-by-second basis, is it?
Anyone who has a problem with players taking the knee is a racist. Simple as that. How can you oppose a peaceful protest against inequality?
First of all, calling Black Lives Matter peaceful is like calling Ted Bundy an ardent feminist. Second of all, who are you calling racist? Millwall fans were amongst the first to boo taking the knee.
No sooner had they knelt than it began.
Hello, base department. And they're so racist that they awarded this dude, Najim Abdu, player... If you want to know what these fans actually think, how about, oh, I don't know, reading what they actually have to say? This is a post from a Millwall supporter on a fans forum. The whole BLM movement is insulting to many because it seeks to destroy our country's values. I don't mean nationalism or jingoism, but the values that unite people across the political spectrum. A belief in the rule of law, free speech, respect for others, and the social justice that many of our forebearers had to fight for in the trade union movement. Your excuse for supporting this movement is an insult to our intelligence and an overtly political statement. It's particularly damaging at this time when so many fans are suffering financial hardship that you couldn't even begin to understand. By supporting BLM, you're not healing divisions, but creating them. I fear that your actions will cause not just a division between players and fans, but a gulf of betrayal that will never be bridged. If you want to campaign against discrimination, then please do so. But supporting BLM is the wrong way to do it. Yeah, easier to just dismiss them as racist, though, right? Black footballers like Wilfried Zaha have also asked this question. What does any of it achieve anyway? During the whole of 2019, UK police killed just one black person, and he was a terrorist. The UK sports media constantly whips up moral panics about racist comments sent to players on social media. So the media conglomerates and their stooges that own them can then lobby for more social media censorship. Then time and time again, you look at the accounts sending these racist messages, and 99% of the time it's Abdul or Ibrahim. 99% of the time they're from Dubai, Morocco or Egypt. It kind of suggests to me that the UK isn't the problem. In the US, BLM raked in $70 million last year. And where did that go? Well, we know where some of it went. Straight into the bank account of BLM co-founder Patrice Cullors, so she could buy multiple mansions. What about the rest? To bail out violent criminals who rampage through cities attacking people and burning down small businesses. So when the stadiums are packed with fans once again, not only should they not be punished for booing the taking of the knee, they should be openly encouraged to do so. Black Lives Matter is a hateful, divisive, violent, extremist organisation that has achieved nothing apart from worsening race relations and lining the pockets of its grifter race-baiting leaders. So please, if you're planning to attend a game at the Euros, or when you return to watch your own club next season, do exactly what some Chelsea fans did this past weekend when the players took the knee. Boo and heckle to your heart's content. It's a commendable act of righteous dissent. Not only against BLM, an organisation that's making the world immeasurably worse for both black and white people, but also a giant middle finger against the malevolent establishment that has facilitated the growth of their cancerous influence. I make a point in that video, Black Lives Matter once again does not care about black people. We had dozens of people shot over the Memorial Day weekend in Chicago, mainly by black criminals. The victims also black people, nobody cares about that. Not just me saying that, we had this headline a couple of days ago. Founder of Black Lives Matter chapter quits, says BLM doesn't actually care about black people. This is Rashad Turner, who released a video revealing the truth about BLM after having spent a year inside the organization. Don't forget the guy that blew the whistle, who tried to start an investigation into Patrice Cullors spending millions of dollars on mansions in predominantly white areas of California. What happened to him? He was targeted by BLM for elimination from the organization. So the people who actually blow the whistle on the true corruption within that organization are immediately ostracized. We'll be back to talk about it on the other side. Summit.news. Don't go away.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We know the global elites, the 1%, have hijacked and subverted the U.S. culture, economy, and government. The battle to take back America begins with the Rise USA, the Resurrection Tour, Thousands of patriots are on the march to Little Rock, Shreveport, and three stops in Texas, plus many other stops on the Arise USA Tour. 50 states, 84 stops, 111 days. The Arise USA Tour will unite the 99% of we the people that stand against the 1% globalist elite and their tyranny. The tour is free with hundreds of speakers and freedom fighters, including former CIA spy Robert David Steele, Urban Global Health Alliance Kevin Jenkins, sixth-generation farmer Trent Luce, human rights advocate Sasha Stone, and many more. For tour info and a list of speakers, go to AriseUSA.com. Join the thousands that have donated over $1 million to Arise USA Tour. To donate or for the tour stop nearest you, go to AriseUSA.com. That's AriseUSA.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com. We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Listening to Summit.News with Paul Joseph Watson. How you like me now?
How you like me now? And everybody should be encouraged to express their own right to free speech, express their own right to challenge the multimillionaire pampered privileged footballers, some of whom get paid literally 400,000 euros a week in the case of Neymar in Paris. By expressing their opinion about Take a Knee, they should not be banned from stadiums. They should not be forced to undergo re-education classes simply for voicing their own opinion on the opinion voiced by these players who choose to take a knee. Because that's always the argument people say on the left. Oh, well, you believe in free speech. You're supposed to be against cancel culture. Why would you not allow these players to take a knee? I don't care. Let them take a knee. But also let the fans who pay their friggin' wages have their opinion on how they're expressing support for a violent, extremist, bigoted, hateful organization like BLM. Now, we had this headline yesterday up on Summit.News. Speaker at armed black militant march says, quote, kill everything white in sight. So much for the tolerant left once again. A speaker at an armed march in Oklahoma to mark the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre, which apparently we're all responsible for because of the immutable characteristic of the color of our skin. We're all responsible for something that happened 100 years ago, which had nothing to do with us, and in the vast, vast majority of cases had nothing to do with our ancestors. But we're responsible for it, and now builders a Second Amendment march for reparations. Good luck with that. Individuals from the new Black Panther Party marched through downtown Tulsa
to draw attention to racism, inequality, wealth disparity, police brutality and the like. Because again, it's so unequal in society. Systemic racism is such a problem that literally every major transnational corporation, government entity, cultural institution, social media network, mainstream media outlet, even to the point of weapons manufacturers with Lockheed Martin, as we covered last week, are not only behind your movement, not only give vast amounts of cash to your movement to the tune of $70 million in the US in 2020 for BLM, they don't just support it, they amplify it at every available opportunity. And that's now what you're seeing with the LGBT movement in America, who again have their Pride Month this month. Isn't Pride Month, doesn't it seem like it's every month, but they have it to communicate what they assert is the fact that they're so oppressed. Just a suggestion, but if every major institution with power in the West is supporting your movement to the tune of $70 million a year and amplifying your message, kind of suggests that you're no longer oppressed. You know, the person who I would say was oppressed was the Christian pastor in the United Kingdom a couple of weeks ago, who was literally arrested on the street, put into handcuffs and dragged into a van for reading Bible passages about homosexuality. I would suggest that he's being oppressed by not only the media environment that creates this narrative, but by that link, that connection, that relationship with the state. He doesn't get his freedom of speech. He gets put in handcuffs. He gets thrown in a paddy wagon. He gets put behind bars. Dana suggests that the real power lies with the same establishment that not only endorses you, but supports you financially. Same with LGBT, same with BLM. And again, I mentioned it before the break. Founder of Black Lives Matter chapter quit, says BLM doesn't actually care about black people. We've known that for the past, 6 years, but it's good to see another person who was on the inside, another African-American man, speaking out against that with considerable risk to his own safety and his own ostracization and his own future career. Always good to see that. Then we have Big League Politics with this headline. BLM activist and school board member faces accusations of molesting over 60 children. Wow, many such cases. Black Lives Matter activist Tay Anderson has stepped down from his position on the Denver school board after accusations emerged that he molested over 60 children. And again, innocent until proven guilty. But concerned parent Mary Catherine Brooks Fleming testified before the Colorado House Judiciary Committee that 62 people asked for her help regarding an unnamed sexual predator. The youngest victim was 14 years old, and the predator's actions ranged from unwanted touching to violent acts of rape. So you have that happening within Black Lives Matter. Generally speaking, what you'll find is that you have that happening within Antifa. Again, many such cases. In fact, the very guy that Kyle Rittenhouse shot dead was a literal pedophile. But apparently Kyle Rittenhouse is the villain in this equation. Meanwhile, in terms of journalists and the media, we have this headline. Washington Post becomes latest media outlet to walk back debunked conspiracy theory, their words, Wuhan lab leak coverage. So once again, the conspiracy theories have been proven right. And now the media, social media networks like Facebook are finally having to walk that back, having banned, censored, shadow banned, muted, ostracized people for the past 15 months for merely suggesting that this virus emerged out of the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. Now, the Washington Post has become the latest media outlet to reverse its earlier insistence that the Wuhan lab leak theory was a, quote, their own words, debunked conspiracy theory. This was an article published in February 2020 by Paulina Ferozzi, labeling the explanation a debunked conspiracy theory, but they've now been forced to issue a retraction. But then again, if you listen to the New York Times and their main COVID coverage reporter journalist, even to still suggest that it may have come from the lab to this day, well, that's racist. She actually tweeted this not 1 year ago, but 4 days ago. New York Times COVID reporter says it's racist to discuss Wuhan lab leak theory. This is A New York Times reporter who specializes, that's in her own bio, in COVID-19 coverage, tweeted that it was racist to even talk about the Wuhan lab leak theory. The New York Times itself also reported yesterday that the U.S. intelligence community has been sitting on a raft of evidence pertaining to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, but that did not stop. Somebody whose name I still cannot pronounce, just as with the WHO director, I'll have a go, Apoorva Mandavilli, that's probably close enough, who in her bio says she reports for the New York Times, quote, mainly on COVID, asserted in a tweet that even discussing the issue was racist. Yes. To talk about the fact that this virus emerged literally hundreds of meters from the Weapons Research Institute, where they were literally conducting these experiments with COVID and animals, even to discuss that in May 2021, in now June 2021, is still racist. Now, that may seem like a clown world hilarious joke. It's not a joke because, as we know, countries in the West across the board imposed border control policies, or didn't, failed to impose border control policies based on the emergence of this pandemic because they were in fear that they would be called racist. And we had another headline regarding that subject a few days ago. Here in the UK, Boris Johnson refused to close borders to stop COVID because he thought it would be racist, according to his former chief advisor, Dominic Cummings. To stop the spread of coronavirus would be racist because Chinese people may get offended. It would be bigoted. And that, as we know from when we reported on it at the time, was coming directly from the World Health Organization itself, where they literally put out advisories to governments across the West who followed it to the T, saying that to impose border controls back in February would cause stigmatization against Chinese people, and it would lead to a wave of hate crime against Chinese people. Now, there was a wave of hate crime against Chinese people over the last year. It wasn't caused by people saying that the virus emerged out of China. It was caused by something else. We have this headline out of RT. Black homeless man charged with hate crime after assaulting Asian woman in New York attack. 48-year-old Alexander Wright, a black homeless man from New York, was arrested and charged with committing a hate crime after a video showed him spontaneously assaulting an Asian woman in Chinatown on Monday. Now, if you follow this broadcast, you will know there are literally examples of this, videos of this, footage of this on a daily basis, and yet we have this narrative. For the past 6 months, it's kind of stopped now, hasn't it? That's very interesting, with the hashtag Stop Asian Hate, and they tried to link it to this imaginary white supremacist takeover movement that doesn't exist, claiming that that was what fostered the massive, and I think it's 600% increase over the past year, in hate crimes, violent attacks targeting Chinese people, targeting Asian people in major metropolitan cities in America. Turns out if you watch the videos, and if you watch this video in particular, once again, it's not white supremacy strikes again. It's criminal populations in New York, in these major cities, which continue to be a big problem. Just going to wrap it up. War Room is coming up next with Owen Schroyer. Don't go away. Summit.news.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.